This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Davina from Devon. I've been sober curious for quite a few years. Never really made it stick because, well, everybody drinks alcohol, right? Anyway, I decided to join OTI after listening to the pod and just the enthusiasm from Ben and Shaz shouting about AF life. I'm so glad I joined the community because I'm now nearly 200 days alcohol free. It's an absolute game changer for me. Everybody on the Zooms are lovely. It's just like one great big extended family and we're all just cheering everybody on. I would recommend without hesitation that you join because it's just the best thing I've ever done.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to yet another episode of the fabulous alcohol-free podcast, Over the Influence. At the risk of sounding like a parrot, but I'll do it anyway if you're just tuning in for the very first time. My name's Sharon Hartley. You can call me Shazza. Alcohol-free for, I've lost count. It's about 960 days-ish. I started on a 90-day challenge a long, long time ago. Still here, having a ball, singing about alcohol-free life. And in most episodes, you'll hear me saying, isn't it just bloody brilliant? I'm not doing this on my own. My co-host is the very glamorous Freddie Bennett, who is in the future. Sorry.
Hello, I'm gonna do it from every the episode. Future. We love that joke every episode, don't we? Hello, everybody. My name is Freddie. I am coming to you from the future. I'm from the UK originally, but I'm currently residing in sunny New Zealand. I used to be the hard-working corporate wannabe high flyer who got more distracted by the stress of the job and the partying side of it. So I gave up drinking over 2 years ago, won some ultra marathons, broke some world records, ran across a desert, moved around the world. But my most proudest achievement is being able to stare into Shazza's eyes every single day as we record these wonderful episodes. I must apologise, by the way, because it doesn't work for a podcast, but for you three. I look like I'm reclining at the moment on the Zoom because where I'm in New Zealand, I haven't actually got any furniture.
Yeah.
So I'm reclining here. It looks basically like a crack den with just like a mattress on the floor. And because I think
you have just moved in.
I have just moved in. I don't I'm not like minimalist, but I think my furniture is somewhere in the Suez Canal with that container. So
you did
Christmas
remind me
time,
of
I'm looking forward to a sofa.
You reminded me of Alan Partridge, Freddie, the way you were sort of lounging on camera. It was very Partridge.
Very relaxed we are, yeah.
Fabulous. Thank you for that, Freddie. And of course, last but by no means least, it is our once beer-guzzling background Ben, now completely alcohol-free foreground Ben. Ben,
hello.
Tell us a bit about yourself in the style of Blind Date.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm 32 and I live in Liverpool.
Yay!
I actually forgot. I was saying to Jen, my girlfriend, she's like, you know, do much for your birthday this year. Birthday's in June, so, you know, everything should be back open properly by then. I was like, no, I'm only going to be 32. There's no point. She's like, you're not. You're going to be 33. I was like, no, I'm going to be 32. And she was like, what year is it? I was like, it's 2020. Oh, crap. So I've lost a year in the last week, which has been frustrating. But I've been alcohol-free now for 10 months. 10 months and one
wow.
day. And actually, Freddie, I was thinking that I'm probably about as far into my alcohol-free journey as you were when we first started talking about doing Over the Influence, the podcast, around your kitchen table.
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, how scary is that?
Yeah,
over a year ago.
Crazy.
No, definitely. And what a year it's been.
I'm a bit rubbish at sums, but I think between us, we're looking at something like just over 5 years sobriety, which is mental, considering where we all came from. Anywho, moving on. Enough about us bumbling on. It gives us great pleasure today, as always, to bring you a fabulous guest from the alcohol-free world. He's called Johnny Stevens. He is founder of the Better Without app. I'm going to let Johnny explain all this. But before we do, Johnny, my first question is, you've joined us on this Zoom call. It is lovely to meet you. What are you drinking? You've got a really nice, fancy goblet. Please tell me, what is it?
Well, yeah, firstly, thank you for having me on. It is a Wilfred's and tonic. I don't know if you've tried it, but it's lovely.
Not yet.
It's sort of blood orange. And then I dropped some raspberries in it to make it look nice.
It looks really swanky. Nice. Very swanky. Everything that we are not.
I do love a goblet drink. There's a certain element of class to it, isn't it?
Isn't
it does remind me of my days drinking from fish bowls with some straws stuck in them. But I do like a nice alcohol-free goblet drink, I must admit.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, it's wonderful to have you. Thank you so much, Johnny. Before we talk about the app and everything to do with Better Without, just introduce yourself to us. Just tell us a bit about who you are, what you do, where you're from.
So I'm from Reading in the UK, and I'm from a, well, I say tech background. That's probably any techie will go, you're absolutely not. I've worked in sales and marketing for tech companies for the last 8 years, working alongside hospitality. So massively into restaurants, food, drink, everything to do with that industry. And every meeting, you know, would be, oh, let's have a pint. And, you know, that sort of, we'll come on to that story and the reason for, yeah, why I stopped and actually, yeah, now like rave about it like we all do. So, yeah, so that's sort of a bit more about me. I founded Better Without back in, well, we launched in December. I came up with the idea July last year. And it was a really quick, I don't like to mess around. And I came up with an idea that I just wanted in the palm of my hands, an app that would tell me where I can get all these drinks and where I could buy them, where I could get them from restaurants, everything like that. And there wasn't anything out there. So I was like, right, let's do it. And 2 days later, had designs done. Week later in development, 16 weeks later, we launched. So like mega, mega fast. And at that point, I hadn't actually spoken to anyone. I mean, you know, probably the worst market research. I didn't actually say, I was like, I like this idea, so let's give it a go. And then took the brave decision of going, I'm going to leave my job. And I think having been on furlough, because I was working alongside the hospitality industry, I went back and I thought, my passion is not in working for others anymore. I want something that I genuinely can throw my passion at and just enjoy. And I could see that the alcohol-free world could bring that. It's such an amazing industry. I mean, I speak with people all the time. So yeah, we launched in December.
And how's the reaction, the take-up been since then? I mean, I guess that's what, almost 6 months down the road now?
So it's really interesting. So having developed it incredibly fast and we launched, you know, I was determined to get it in for obvious reasons, ready for sort of January when a lot of people decide actually they're going to cut back a bit. And then sort of end of March was like, right, I'm happy with this, what I've created. Let's go for it. So not only did we then decide, right, let's launch in the US. So we launched in the US on the 1st of April, and we launched in Australia on the 28th, 29th of April. So we're now in three markets, which is amazing. And we're working with 230 different brands on the app.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's phenomenal. So for a Muppet like me, okay, I need you to break this right down. And also, I want to come back because I'm very nosy. We want to know your story, your alcohol-free story.
Yes.
Hold that thought. We're talking about this app. It's called Better Without. It is so you can go out and locate an alcohol-free drink somewhere of your choosing. Just talk us through, how does it work?
So we've done it in sort of stages. So back when I launched hospitality, especially in the UK and still parts obviously around the world and still a bit in the UK, it was closed. So nothing, you know, nothing was open. And that's been really interesting, actually analysing pre-closure versus now what they're coming, you know, the restaurants are coming out with, because they have really sharpened up.
What do you mean in terms of the number of restaurants that are stocking or kind of...
Yeah. Like, amazing.
It does definitely feel that way. Like pretty much everywhere now. I think I said it a couple of weeks ago. It'd be odd to go to a bar now and not have at least one or two alcohol-free... Yeah. Probably one, but at least one.
Completely. I mean, I went to BrewDog in Edinburgh last week, and they had three alcohol-free options on draft.
Is brilliant. That yeah. That's a game
That's
changer.
So good.
It's an absolute game
changer.
You don't feel like
a social leper, do you? It's like, actually, I can have an adult drink. I can have what I would have in the past enjoyed. But like Freddie says, it's just different numbers on the side of the glass.
Yeah. And the best thing was, in Scotland at the moment, you can only drink alcohol outside. So I'm sat inside in the warm enjoying my pint whilst they're sitting in the rain.
Brilliant benefit.
You know. So what we started with was, right, let's allow people to go onto an app. When you sign up for the app, we ask for preferences. So what do you like? So we want to get to know more about what other people like. Then we can start recommending drinks. So is there new spirits coming out? Or is there a new beer? And we know you like lager. So actually, this could be a beer you like. So we're starting to understand the user from the point of sign up. Then once you're in the app, you can see all those different categories. So if you're a beer lover, you can go on and you can say, I want a beer. I want maybe a lager, and I want it from Belgium, and I want it to be gluten-free. Yeah, we can go to that level. There's lots of different filters. And for me, in the alcohol world, there is so much food pairing and this from this country. But personally, I just felt in the alcohol-free world, it's like, this is it. Enjoy. You know, that's it. And I just felt that, consumers deserve more than that. You know, this is massive. So once you've just, you know, once you've sort of filtered out, you can see the drinks, then I'm really big on telling that story of the brands. You know, for me, so many of the brands are small, you know, companies that have started up quite a lot in sort of in the last year and have, you know, decided I'm stopping my job or anything. So we, you know, have a option to sort of tell that brand story. And then it shows you from an online retail perspective, where can I get it? So if you're in the US, all the different options, UK, all the different options. And then the next bit we've got coming is, and it's in the UK, literally any day in time for sort of hospitality fully reopening, is our places. So the ability to say, right, I'm here, or I'm going out in London or whatever tonight. What options are there? So I want alcohol-free beer on draft. Where stocks it? Or I'm going to this restaurant. And obviously it's going to take a bit of time to get all that. But, you know, we're launching with about 300-400 sort of restaurants initially. And then that's massively building out. But, I want to get it to the stage where I go, right, what does my local supermarket sell? And, you know, then I can really... Because otherwise you just don't know. You're like, where can I get these products, either physically or online? So that, for me, is a big thing. And I've also focused it very much on, like, community, because I really want people to share their opinions. So, you know, people who genuinely love alcohol-free and low and no alcohol drinks, like, they've tried it because, and if they've signed up to the app, they know what they're drinking. There's no, you know, they haven't, it really irritates me when I read a bad review and it's like, tried this, had a few sips, and then found out it was alcohol free, hated it. It's like, what? Like, why is it just because you now know it's alcohol free, do you think it's bad? That's just rubbish. So I wanted it a platform where it's genuine reviews and people, you know, go on, review it. So you can see different reviews, you can see top rated. We've also got like a log, so you can see all the reviews you've done. So you could do like when you've tried a drink, you know, being able to keep a log of all the different drinks you've tried, add things to your wish list. And that, for me, that's what we want to do. We want to keep it really, really fun and engaging.
I think that's so key, Johnny. And I remember I guess a couple of things come to mind. At first, I remember not only when I tried to stop drinking, you know, this last time, you know, the time that worked effectively, and those early days when you try to white knuckle it and you go into a bar and then you're looking at the fridges and you're thinking, oh no, you know, I've got Diet Coke again, or you know, other fizzy drinks are available, but it's not even proper fizzy drinks. It comes out the little squirty thing, and by 10 o'clock at night, your teeth are hurting and everything else. And I also think about the amount of times that I failed in the last 10 years when I, you know, you go into a bar with the best of intentions and you have a look around and you think, oh, you know, I'll just have one. And obviously one turns into stumbling through the front door at 6 o'clock in the morning with your eyes like saucers and, you know, the neighbours aren't talking to you and all those things. I also have a really great view with it that hopefully when we can all socialise again and everyone goes back out, and I've got this picture of, and maybe I'm thinking about it in a bit of a blokey way, you know, being such a macho red-blooded male that I am, you know, the boys on a pub crawl, yes, and you've always got the person, don't laugh, Shaz, I'm as bloody macho as they come, and you know, you got the boys on the pub crawl, there's always one at the front going like, all right boys, yeah, down the road there's like the Crowned Anchor, we're going to go there, but I'd be there with my app saying, come along chaps, let's go here, but I'd be going, hee, I'm taking you somewhere with a wonderful selection of alcohol-free lagers and things like that, and it helps you plan the journey, and I think it's really important, and we've talked about it before on the podcast in those early days.
Sorry, Freddie, you're about to say something serious. No, because I'm just thinking of the Artful Dodger, you know, going on his alcohol-free journey. Come on, we're going down the Crown and Anchor.
It's like on EastEnders, you know, Grant Mitchell going like, all right, Phil. let's go down. I haven't watched EastEnders for ages. Let's go down the Queen Vic and have a pint of. I've totally lost my train of thought now. But yeah, you know,
Rovers Return, Coronation Street. Keep it northern.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so northern, Shazza. But I think my point was, in those early days, it is about planning, and you do have to get a little bit tactical, and you do have to think about things. And, you know, if I'm going to go to this event, do I need to take my own alcohol-free drinks? Mm-hmm. Do I need to call ahead? Which I think we've all done, and be like, you know, sound like a real weirdo, like, hello, I'm not an alcoholic, but I just want to make sure, do you have alcohol-free beers in? Otherwise, I might go a bit mental, and all these things. But it just helps making that planning process so much easier, and takes a lot of stress out of it as well, because I'm always a big fan of, and it's not the most glamorous thing ever, but I don't always want to throw motivational phrases at people, you know, you can overcome anything, which they're great, but what's also great is having a plan, having a strategy, putting a few things in place to try and make it as easy as possible for yourself. And I really think that your app does this.
It's so exciting. We've got a date, and I can't remember when it is soon, where we're going to do a bit of a bar crawl. I mean, exactly that, but on alcohol-free beers on draft, and just do a bit of a crawl around them. And it's amazing how, I think there's over 200 places in the UK that have alcohol-free beer on draft, which is amazing. So that's, you know, it is coming. It's, and there is, for me, there's something about having a pint in a pint glass that it just gives, you know, I hate getting a bottle and then this little tiny sort of highball. It just does, it ruins that experience. And I'm like, I want a pint glass and I want to be able to enjoy it.
I can't wait any longer. I'm sorry. I'm really nosy. I love to find out people's backstories. I want to know. I want to know all of it. Well, I do, well, as much as you're happy to share. No, obviously.
No, of course.
As we said in the intro, you know, we all set out. Myself and Freddie set out on an alcohol-free journey, and it was nothing more than a bit of a challenge. Let's see if we can do 90 days. And when you set out, it's like, Jesus wept, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. fast forward, because there was no app at the time,
yes,
is the problem, Johnny, let me tell you. Fast forward for me, 3 years in September, Freddie's just hit 2 years. And what's brilliant about our little gathering, Johnny, is that Ben, when we first started recording these podcasts of 12 months ago, Ben enjoyed his beers, you know, and it was never an issue to us. We couldn't care less. He just happened to be a really shit heart, shit heart podcast. I can't say podcast produce.
This is a real shame because you do one. You can't say premium. We've been recording some premium podcasts recently.
I've got a real situation with my peas.
Yeah.
Terrible.
No, I would honestly, I know, I don't think I told you this before, but I'd come round to, we'd do it around Freddie's kitchen in the days where we could all socialise. And I'd be so thirsty when I got home. All this talk about beer, I'd crack a beer when I got home after producing your alcohol-free podcast.
As if he's just admitted that. Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, you got to me in the end. You know, I suppose, Johnny, I came from this from a point of view of not really never even thought I'd have to evaluate my own relationship with alcohol because it just wasn't something in my life that I thought about. I just did drink when I did drink. And it wasn't until I actually kind of started thinking about it because of these two, in terms of going, I do, like you were saying earlier, that kind of lunchtime beer. You're like, why did I have that beer at lunchtime? It's lunchtime. It's lunchtime on a Tuesday. I don't need to have a pint at lunchtime on a Tuesday. And so it was actually that kind of, it was that process of listening to these guys and just, I just gave it a go for a month and now 10 months and very much hoping to hit the air. I'm feeling confident.
You will.
About it.
Absolutely. But anyway, you will. Absolutely. So that's us in
that'd
a nutshell.
Be the worst advert for the podcast ever if one of the podcast presenters can't do a year alcohol.
Can you imagine? We'll be producing this nonsense ourselves, Freddie. You'll get booted off. I digress. Johnny, tell us a bit about you then.
Yeah.
Did you used to enjoy a drink? Are you alcohol free now? Just talk us through it.
Yeah. So this is quite interesting. So I didn't drink until about I was 21, which is like massively late in comparison to everyone else. I think I was very much, I left college. I was very much like, right, I'm going to get into work 17. Like it was heads down. That's what I want. It wasn't big on nights out or anything. And then, I started sort of drinking, getting into sort of, you know, I did like a beer, you know, I was going to say everything. That sounds like, you know, whatever's in the cupboard. I don't mean it quite like
cooking
that.
Sherry.
But you know, I was very much, you know, I like my beer. I like, you know, wine, you know, whatever occasion. But then for me, it was what I found is when I did drink, I wouldn't have an off switch. So I was very much that
person. Story.
Yeah, it is.
It's the same as me.
But what's really weird, and this is where I think it's not different from a lot of people, but you know how people drink to sort of relax, come out their shell, and that's there. I was the opposite. I would just become guarded. I'd be like, you know, drink more to sort of try and get myself out of this almost anxious state. And, you know, I would find myself in situations where, you know, it just was like, I'll keep drinking. I remember going to a beer tasting, and I remember like this was like 2 years ago. And I remember like my dad and I went, and I like there was some high strength beers at the time. And I remember being like, oh, you're not finishing that. I'll drink that. But then I had this for me. So it was last year when I was on furlough. So before creating the app, I was on furlough sort of April last year. And it was very much because there was no time of the day, you know, it was like sunny weather and it was like, you know, let's have a beer. Why not? And then for me, I just then had this moment of going when I drink because I enjoy the taste. The next day I would always be mega anxious. And I don't know, you know, no reason, just that anxiety you get. And I just thought, why do I drink? I drink because I like the taste. I like the flavor, not the alcohol. So why am I having the alcohol? If it makes me feel rubbish, I may as well cut it out. So I started to sort of, you know, cut it out. I then fully stopped in July last year. So I'm probably similar to you, Ben. Yeah. And I just went, that's it, you know, and it was post the pubs open. I had one sort of final where I, you know, went out. I remember having two, like I was literally at the bar and I down a pint of Guinness and then walked off with another one. And that, for me, it was that next day going, I just don't need it. I don't need that in you know, in my life. And realizing how many great low and no, you know, alcohol drinks there are. And I drink 0.5% and below. That, for me, I'm happy with that. That's, yeah, that's what I'm comfortable with. And yeah, so that was my sort of story. I just found when I drank too much, and I just thought there's got to be a better way to enjoy the drinks and the flavors. And there was.
I think it's great to have you on, Johnny, because you are yet another example of, because there is still that stigma, that traditional idea that people who give up alcohol gave up because they couldn't, you know, whatever, they were alcoholics, you know. You're yet another example of someone who wasn't mm-hmm. in that state, but who went, actually, why am I doing this? What benefit does it bring me? Mm. Not a lot. I'm going to stop. And it's so many people now, you don't have to get yourself into a hole to reevaluate your relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
And I think you're such a good example of that. And it's, you know, I'd love to talk to you more about the business in a bit, because Sound Rebel is my bit little business. And, you know, I found the kind of, I don't know how you felt about business through pandemics, etc. But I feel like going alcohol free has definitely helped over the last few months.
I sleep.
I was going to ask as well as that, Johnny, do you feel that if you hadn't stopped drinking, would any of the app or anything have happened? Would you have still thought, hey, is this an opportunity, or would it just never have crossed your mind?
I don't think so. I think it was that sort of moment of, actually, I think the app massively gave me a purpose to, right, that's it. That's, you know, that's it. But I don't think I would have, I probably wouldn't be sat here today doing it if I hadn't. You know, I think the passion that I've got for it, and, you know, I massively talk about, actually, I genuinely do love it. I genuinely have, in my view, I don't have that moment going, oh, I'm really missing out. But I just don't. I don't feel that. Now, maybe that's because things aren't open or whatever, but I think I just threw myself into it. And I also realized that it's a massive, like, the app can massively have a positive impact both on the industry, but also on people like us.
I'm really chuffed as well that we're talking about low alcohol and no alcohol drinks. The amount of messages we get from people just a little bit baffled, almost as though, am I breaking the rules? Is this okay? What are your thoughts on alcohol-free alternatives? Now, as we say, you know, we are not qualified. We're not qualified in jack shit, to be honest. We're not experts. We're not counsellors. We're not. We are simply expert ex-drinkers. So we can't give you any advice as to what you should and shouldn't be doing with regards to your alcohol intake. However, in order to answer some of the questions that people bring to us, Johnny, they say, you know, how do we feel about low and no alcohol alternatives? And as you said, for me, particularly when the sun shines and you're sitting in your garden where normally it would have been 17 bottles of rosé, it's now 0.5% or below alcohol-free cider, alcohol-free gin and tonic. And the majority are completely alcohol-free. Some of the lagers are 0.5. From my point of view, from a very personal point of view, absolutely crack on. If you're feeling like, you know, a beer and you've got that alternative, they can be, lifesaver sounds like a bit of a strong word, but it certainly scratches an itch, I think is the point I'm trying to make. Go on, Ben.
Johnny, can you explain the difference between, what's the difference between a 0.5 and a 0.%
Probably half point, I would have thought.
Mathematician Freddie just piped up in the corner there.
No, but what I mean by that is that some people will think that, and, you know, am I cheating by having a Lucky Saint at 0.5 or an Erdinger at 0.5? Are you alcohol free if you're drinking 0.5% alcohol drinks?
Again, you know, no, I'm not qualified, but I do. So my personal opinion is yes for that. I mean, you know, I was reading an article yesterday, and it's, you know, and there's loads of science in there behind, you know, a ripe banana is it 0.43%, and a burger bun, granted this is probably in America, but it's like 1.2% or something. So,
no way.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
That's bonkers. I never knew that.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I knew that if you went to a posh restaurant and they served you chicken with a red wine jus, that's got red wine in it.
Don't stick a banana on a burger bun.
Banana's got food. Yeah. I've never knew that.
Yeah. And the riper it is then because of the fermentation and everything. So,
wow. So I heard something about orange juice was something like
that's 0.2
or something. Mm. Like there's something to do with the chemistry and the science and the...
Yeah, it's really interesting, this whole bit. And it doesn't help as well that the UK is different from Europe and the rest of the world in terms of what can be classed as alcohol-free. And where I struggle is where things are branded as... I had one last year. I won't name the supermarket, but a supermarket in the UK that...
Is it an orange supermarket? A green supermarket?
one of the many. Yes. but it had their low and no alcohol section. And I picked up this bottle of wine and took to the checkout. And I always get asked for ID anyway, regardless of alcohol-free. I'll take it as a compliment, but I don't know for how much longer. I took this bottle of wine and I then looked at it and it was, I think it was 8%, and it said reduced alcohol. And I was like, oh, like I genuinely could have so easily bought that, not even checked the label. Yeah. I'm like, that.
I'd have been gutted. I'd have been fuming.
I would have been fuming.
Yeah.
Because that for me, it would have been, and you know, I was so like, that just isn't right, because I feel safe in that section where I know that's low and no, and I know that stuff in there I can drink. And it you know, it's funny, isn't it? Because if that happened in like gluten-free world, like that would be devastating. You know, that
absolutely.
Could be, you know, so it really, you know, should be treated that same thing. So it's, I really do feel passionate that, you know, that sort of low and reduced and everything, just it needs to be really clear that actually what does that mean, you know, what, because otherwise it just is putting marketing stuff on it to sell.
Hi, this is Ben from Over the Influence, and just taking a quick break from another fabulous episode to let you know about something that we do in our community that we absolutely love. This is exclusive for OTI community members. Every single month, we do something called the Monthly Masterclass. Basically, if we've got a guest on the podcast that we think has got loads more to offer, they've got more to talk about that we can't fit into a normal episode, then we invite them to be a Monthly Masterclass host. They're fabulous. Claire Pooley's done one for us. Sarah Connolly has done one for us. William Porter. And look, we do these every single month. And of course, they are free for our OTI community members. If you'd like to find out more, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Sign up to be a community member now. It's £20 a month or £200 a year. But look, you get so much other stuff as well. Just go and have a look on that website, overtheinfluence.co.uk. Right, back to this week's episode. Okay, this isn't going to sound very exciting, but I have a maths-based question.
Oh, God.
Does, if you have 10 0.5% beers, is that the equivalent of having one 5% beer? Or should I have listened more to Mr. Cross when I was doing my GCSE maths?
So alcohol percentage, it's based on, isn't it, in something like what's in a litre. So that's how they calculate the volume. I think there was a study done that you would have to have something like 43 pints of beer and not go to the loo, and it could potentially have an impact on you where you've had those units.
Right. So that's a 0.5 or below beer.
Yeah.
40. Okay. Yeah. No. So, I think I'd need to go to the toilet. Probably,
I remember.
Two. Yeah.
Having a point to prove, I think, more to myself than anybody else. And I went on a pub crawl, a sober pub crawl. Mm. This was obviously it's got to be 2-3 years ago now. And I was like, Heineken Zero, Heineken Zero, Heineken Zero. And I think I had 4 or 5 the next day. Oh, man alive. I had a proper yeah, headache. And it was really bizarre. Yeah. Like, not
because
a hangover.
You're
yeah. It, and I was like, well, I'm not doing that again. I've proper overdone it on the zeros.
on the flip side of that, when I was 17, I was on a school trip at the United Nations, of all places. And we had a big party on the last night, and we were all told that it was alcohol-free beer. So I was just necking them. Turns out they were Dutch strength beer, and I woke up the next morning on a beach in my pants. So there you go. It does work both ways.
Johnny.
Yes.
I feel like these answers are interesting, but the questions don't sound particularly interesting. I'd like to talk about, pick your brains on the manufacturing process, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. Something I'm really interested in is, seems to be a bit of a debate, how is alcohol-free beer made? Is it made as alcohol-free beer? Mm. Is it made as normal beer that they then boil the alcohol off? Are both of those answers correct, or are they both completely ridiculous?
My understanding now is there's 6 different methods that are used. It's something like 6 different methods. So it's boiling it to death is one way. Obviously, you lose a lot of flavor with that because you are just boiling it to death. Some, as you say, it's produced where it's produced as to be alcohol free, and they've not had to remove it. In a wine world, they can vacuum it out. Yeah, yeah.
What? Yeah. How? I used to vacuum up wine.
I used to vacuum up. Well, that's a whole different story. But That's a whole new podcast. How do you vacuum up alcohol?
It's a vacuum process. I know someone like Naughty, the wine sparkling rose. Sparkling rose, and also the Brut. That's vacuum. And I know in the wine world, Germany is really big on alcohol-free processes for wine. So what often happens is they bring the grapes from like Spain and some France and then produce it in Germany. So there is different ways. So I think there's something like 6 different ways, and they're always working out how best to do it. And what I find really, really interesting is that if you look at, as you say, the Heinekens, the Guinness, the what I almost call the big international breweries that are everywhere, they have all gone for 0.0. And I think that's just for ease in terms of actually, then you're safe in all territories. And you're not got any issues. But that 0.5% alcohol does make quite a big difference on taste. And, I think if that was really, if they wanted to go down that route, I think they could, the taste profile would massively increase. And that's why I think, for hopefully when Guinness comes, Guinness was my favorite drink when I used to drink. And I never actually got to try it when it was on 0.0. But I'm desperate to try it again. But I think if they wanted to go to 0.5, it'd be very interesting to see I don't want to say battle, but what they would be able to produce.
What I love as well about this Better Without app is that, yes, we talk about alcohol-free. We are all alcohol-free. Mm. Not everybody is. Some people are just considering their relationship with alcohol, and I love the idea of mindful drinking. And you know what? I want to go out and have a cocktail. I'm not too fussed about it being alcohol-free. Mm. Some people really enjoy having a low alcohol option where it's 1%, 2%. Mm. And that is brilliant when you go into somewhere. We've not been into anywhere for quite a while. But when you see that section on a menu of mindful drinking for people that are, for whatever reason, reevaluating their relationship with alcohol, I love the fact that they can have your app on their phone and it's all there. And if I had that, if I'd have had that in my early days when I was sort of navigating going out, I think it would have been such a massive help.
I genuinely want to make it fun. Like, I want to make it an enjoyable experience. When you go out and you have a meal or you get, so much thought is, you know, in the alcohol world is put into, I'm going to enjoy this drink, and, you know, going through the wine list and everything. And then if you've just got one option, you're like, oh, and I do.
No, yeah. Johnny, you've just reminded me, I went to a christening, and I think I was about 6 weeks in, and I went to the bar of this relatively swanky hotel, and I'm like, please, mate, I have an alcohol-free drink. Mm. And I swear to God, he went into, like, the vaults that hadn't been touched. There was, like, cobwebs, spiders, yeah. Right? And he went down the steps and 3 hours later came back and he went, here you go. And I swear to God, it was a bottle of Caliber. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is actually from 1982. And that was all they had. And I thought, this sucks.
Yeah.
This was just toss. It was so infuriating.
Yeah,
it's changed even in the last 6 months. Like when I felt like it's only 10 months ago, Johnny, that me and you started doing this. Mm. But I've felt like I went into a lot of pubs that were Beck's Blue. Yeah, we got Beck's Blue. Yeah, we got Beck's Blue. Beck's Blue everywhere. Like mom and dad's live in the countryside, and obviously in that gap where we could actually see people during all this year of madness. Mm. I was in the country, but it was a local little village pub. It's Beck's Blue, and they were kind of. You know, almost they weren't just like, yeah, cool, here you go. They were like, why are you drinking this? I was like, why are you selling it? You know, because I want to drink it. You know, but it does feel like even in the last 6 months, the choice is getting so much better.
And Johnny, I was going to ask you about that to get your opinion, because I know I'm slightly far away from the UK at the moment, but from what I see on one hand, I see we've got your app, we've got so many alcohol-free drink selections. As you say, more and more pubs are adopting it, and that's all amazing. On the other hand, you read articles about, you know, in the UK and in other countries, that because of lockdown, because of the stresses and pressures that everyone's had, you know, drinking problems are worse than ever. Anxiety is worse than ever. You've seen all the pictures in the UK and in other countries of, you know, the pubs opening up and the fights spilling out onto the streets and people overdoing it and everything. And what's your view? Do you think as a society we are, you know, I was going to say winning the war against alcohol. I know it's not a war. Do you think society's opinions are changing and going more alcohol free, or do you think it's there's still a long way to go?
It's massively changing, and I'm amazed at how many people I speak to now or, you know, my mum speaks to, or, you know, people, and they're like, oh yeah, that person's not drinking, or that person's not drinking. And it's become, you're right there. I think lockdown went two ways. People either drank way more or they drank nothing. And I think it is massively changing. Look, you're never going to convince everyone. You aren't going to convince everyone. I do genuinely believe, though, that alcohol, and I've heard it many times in the last few weeks, you know, alcohol is that new tobacco. I do think 20 years' time we'll be completely reevaluating and going, what, we put in that in our, you know, in our body. I do think it is massively changing. I also think if you can just give people options, you know, if you go into a bar and it's right, you know, something like Lucky Saint, what I love is they don't brand it, you know, alcohol free. It's not all like all about the, you know, it's just Lucky Saint. So actually, as soon as you ordered that and it's in your glass, no one knows. And that for me is, you know, a lot of these guys as well, there is so much competition now. They have to try so hard to get really good drinks. You know, you can't just put something out for the sake of it. So I think with choice going up, I think people are changing. I think there's loads of habits that lockdown put the brakes on for a lot of people to go, hey, hang on, I'm changing this, and I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to the, you know, the rat race and everything. And I speak to a lot of, we've been doing a lot of work with sort of hotel groups and bars and that kind of thing, going, you know, afternoon tea, massive in the UK, massive, you know, for the hotels. I think probably everyone's got vouchers for the next 10 years because that's, no one's been able to use them. But we're like, you could easily put a bottle of sparkling. People just want that moment of celebratory, you know, pop another cork, and you can get that from alcohol free. So why not you know, if you can, if people can enjoy a bottle and you've got two options, they can either drink or not drink, and they don't want, you know, don't want to hang over, they're not drinking, then you've got such a good opportunity to, you know, sell, and people are willing to pay for it. I think this is the big thing that the from hospitality that people are realizing now is, I don't mind going out and paying £5 for a pint if it's good. The bit I really struggle with is when I go out and I really like having a pint glass, so I order two beers, and two bottles of beers come to nearly eight quid, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
And you know, just to fill just over a pint glass. So that's where I hope things, you know, that side changes. I mean, I completely understand there is this whole argument about people go, oh, it doesn't have alcohol in, it should be less. You know, ethanol is so cheap to really use with, and these guys have to try so hard to get the flavor out. And if they're removing the alcohol, that's one step more than the others.
Shaz, can you say something to try and bring in the Northerners who felt a little alienated by Johnny's statement that
wouldn't
mind paying £5 for a pint?
Well, I would have done, but I fell off my chair. Sorry, I was on the floor. Bloody hell, it's just taken me back. I remember back in my drinking days, I think it was one of the first times I went to London to see my dear friend Jeanette, and my God, we've drunk a lot of wine over the years, and it was my first time ever in a London pub. I'm from Lancashire, Johnny. All right, just bear with me on this. And I went to the bar and I was like, two large glasses of dry white, please, in my northern accent. And I gave Jeanette, I think I gave her a tenner. And this is years ago. And I thought, I'll get at least 4 or 5 quid change out of that. I think she had to put another tenner to it. And I was like, what the actual? What has he just sold us? What is this? Why? How? And it was enough to put me off drinking for life.
Yeah.
I've got a stereotypical Freddie half ask, half say. But what a joy it is to hear your story. As I say, it might not be an app for some other people, but you had the idea, you were alcohol free, and you said, I'm just going to go for it. And maybe it won't be quite right. Maybe we'll learn something. Maybe we'll have to change some things. But and I know for something like this, and with I say my background in tech as well, you could have spent a year.
Mm.
Just saying, we're going to do a bit more research. We'll do a bit of this. We'll do a bit of that. But the fact that you just jumped in and you said, let's strike while the iron's hot. Let's do it. And I think there's lessons there for so many people listening. Whatever you're thinking about doing, just go for it. Mm. And there'll never be a perfect time. You'll always could do with a bit more information. But I think a lot of people can be inspired by that just to bloody do it. And that's my non-question, but I thought it was great to hear.
It was a great point.
And I think it's going to help a lot of people. You know, I moved house last year, and our new local is, we've chosen that one because that's where they do my favourite alcohol-free beer. So, you know, nice. I think it definitely is going to help a lot of people out. I mean, Johnny, it is better without a private company. You haven't got any kind of NHS funding or anything like that?
No, we keep looking. I seem to be slipping through the net on every bit of funding. So it's all self-funded.
How do you, you know, if the answer to this is bugger off, we're not ready to share that information yet, then tell me to bugger off and you're not willing to share that information. But are you going to charge us at some point for this app? Like, how are you going to make money?
Yeah. So not from the consumer side. I mean, what we'll start to do is we'll start to look at trends and insights. So we can see, you know, how many people have looked for gluten-free beer, for example, and that data we will then start to go, okay, well,
got yeah
from a Sainsbury's
yeah
okay, and then we cool. can go to the supermarkets and go, okay, we know that this is the most searched for, and you know, that type of, you know, use the data, and also go, okay, we know that 25 to 30 year olds tend to like these type of drinks, you're an establishment that caters for that, so these are the, you know, the products that will sell well in that market. And then we'll start to do stuff like, you know, promotions. So if you're walking past a bar and, yeah, it want flags up to say come in for, you know, 50p off a pint or whatever, then, you know, we'll start to do promotions, and that will obviously be paid by either hospitality or the drinks brand. So it won't, you know, that's something for me. We don't charge the brands just to list on the app. That for me was something I was really passionate about, because I felt if you're a tiny brand that's just started up, I don't, you know, use that money to put into the business, and we'll see if we can try and get you some exposure through the app. And, you know, that's worked very well because the brand heavily promote the app. So, you know, we will have sort of upgrade options, but data and being able to also go, okay, you know, what drinks are served where, that type of yeah, insights data and industry data we can share.
Brilliant. I think anything,
it's really interesting.
I think it's great that, you know, we love everybody that comes on this podcast. Everyone has a slightly different story. I think for me, this has been really interesting personally, as someone who is starting up a business, as someone, well, I say that 2 years old now, can't believe that turned two a couple of weeks ago. That time's flown. You know, I love that you're launching a business, which you hope is going to, you know, make you a bit of money down the line or whatever, but it's genuinely something that it could help.
Yeah.
Not just, it's society. You know, it's alcohol is you know, individuals can struggle with alcohol, but it is still a societal problem. Yeah. And I think that's something that we don't cover loads of, actually, guys, on this. We talk about the kind of personal journey a lot, but it's a big, big issue. All sorts of horrible things happen because of alcohol. And I think anything that helps to promote that actually there is a different way, you can have the same tasting drink or pretty close to it without that horrible stuff called alcohol in it. I think anything you can do, it's great that you've kind of got a real good social conscience for this as well. So I've really, really enjoyed having you on.
Thank you.
I've got a proper fanboy then.
amazing, Ben. I think we will be talking about it in future episodes, but we have got some big, big, big plans and announcements for Over the Influence, for stuff that's going to be launching in June this year. And Johnny, I know we were speaking before we started recording, but I think there's plenty of opportunities for all of us here, I think, to spread the alcohol-free world, just to help people to not necessarily even give up forever or be preachy or say that alcohol's bad, but just give people that choice. If they want to do things a bit differently, then why not try and make it as easy as possible for people? And I believe that with people like yourself, things like Over the Influence, we can change the bloody world.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I just echo everything that Ben has just said. I echo everything that Freddie has said. Johnny, it's been a real delight to chat to you. There's two things I want to say. I love a lot of things, mate. I get dead excited about all sorts. Better Without, it's a top name. It's great because my life's bloody better without alcohol. So, yeah, great name. And I think before we started recording, you talked about the low and no scene. I love that there is a bloody low and no scene. And, you know, we are all grown adults, and to be part of that scene and to be catered for and to be given options is just bloody wonderful. It's dead exciting, and alcohol-free life is going nowhere. So from me, thank you. I think it's brilliant what you're doing. Just remember us, will you, when you're, you know, bloody rich and famous.
And, right.
You know. And in the Australia office, and, you know, fly to California now.
Weeping into me alcohol-free beer at the Rover's Return on Coronation Street.
No, where's Freddie's pub? The Crown and what was it, Freddie? The Crown and Anchor.
Crown and Anchor.
The Crown and Anchor.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Over the Influence. If you enjoyed what you heard, if it is inspiring you on your alcohol-free journey, please do feel free to leave us a review. The more people we can reach, the better. It's why we are doing this, singing about the unexpected joys of sobriety and sharing the rubbish bits as well. We couldn't do it without you. Please do leave us a rating and a review on your podcast provider. If you want any more information about what we do, drop us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk, or feel free to take a look at the website, overtheinfluence.co.uk. Thank you so much.